I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, the youngest generation. Years from now, our kids will likely write essays about this pandemic. Governor Roy Cooper regularly takes a minute in his press briefings to remind us of the extraordinary nature of this moment in time.
We've added to our own conversations phrases like personal protective equipment, social distancing, and flattening the curve. We're using video conferencing to hold everything from church services to birthday parties. Parents have become homeschool teachers. School teachers have found even more creative and important ways to support their students.
Right now, some of those future high school and college kids are busy learning their ABCs at home. But if their parents are essential workers, they might still need to rely on their local child care facility. That is, if it's still open.
Despite the risk to their own health and the health of their staff, some centers are trying to stay open. And here's what we're seeing. Widespread closure of centers, almost half, between 40 and 50% are closed.
That's Donna White, the leader of North Carolina's early childhood education program, Smart Start, in a conference call last week with state lawmakers. She said, like many businesses, child care centers can't pay their workers. And the ones that are still open can't keep up with the flood of calls coming into the state's new child care hotline.
About 100 to 175 calls are coming in daily asking to be connected.
So let's start there with Donna White. She spoke with producer Will Michaels about how the child care system is trying to adapt to the pandemic and how the structure of the program she runs made it susceptible to a global crisis.
Any place that is closed, Smart Start is knocking on the door and saying, can we get your cleaning supplies? Can we get your toilet paper to distribute to the child care centers and for them to have access? Because their daily routines have tremendously changed. They're operating now where the ones who are open, which is about 50, 55, 57% that are still open, need more supplies than they've ever needed before. And I don't know if you have children, but that young children are marvelous, messy human beings. And so there's body fluids floating around. And so, you know, you just, it's an environment that in, under these conditions, it has to operate very differently than normally. I mean, usually there's a lot of hugging and the hand-holding, and children still have to be comforted. So staff are wearing large button-down shirts, oversized, and carrying many changes. If it gets soiled, take it off, put it in a bag, put on another one, and then rinse and repeat, if you will. And to practice social distancing as much as is possible in that kind of a group setting. It's extremely, extremely difficult.
That's obviously a strain on a system that sounds like it was already being strained.
Yeah.
One of your colleagues, Tara Fish, who leads the Harnett County Smart Start program, said to lawmakers last week that the centers that are still open are really struggling financially. She said their hearts are bigger than their bank accounts. Mm-hmm. I don't ask this question to sound dramatic. I ask it because there are some pretty clear cash flow issues here. How dire would you say the situation is for North Carolina's child care facilities?
Mm-hmm. There's a survey, national survey that was done that I mentioned last week by the National Association of the Education of Young Children, surveyed all 50 states child care centers. And the respondents in North Carolina, about one third of them responded that they would not be able to survive a closure of more than 2 weeks. So we're expecting that our availability of child care and our landscape of child care is going to look very different when this is over. And the ones who are continuing to be open are struggling with maintaining staff. Many of them could make more with the new unemployment than they can working, and many don't have health insurance. So they're exposing themselves to a higher risk of illness and then wouldn't have health insurance to help cover the bills. So this is, it is a dire situation. And I mean, I've heard stories of directors who wanted to keep their center open because their heart is big and they want to support like hospital employees who have to go to work, and were not able to have enough of their staff that were willing to stay on, to be able to stay open.
You talked about some of these facilities saying that they would have a hard time staying open permanently if they were shut down for more than 2 weeks. And you said that a week ago. What, if anything, has changed since then? And is it better or worse?
I would say nothing has changed yet. And the centers who are closed, if they had children that were enrolled in the North NC pre-K program for four-year-olds, state-funded, or families who are receiving subsidized childcare, they are for the months of April and May continuing to receive those payments. So that is something that DHHS has put in place, and that is a big help. That probably allows them, if they had those children. There are some centers that only take private pay families, so they're getting nothing right now. But if they were a center that was having public funding, they're getting some support right now, which was probably helping them pay their rent and utilities, but not their staff. So if they're laying off their staff, the big question in everybody's mind is, what will incentivize those staff to come back?
I can only imagine what's going through your mind when you think about the long-term impacts that this might have on North Carolina's child care system. But what is going through your mind?
This work is so vital to our future that if we can find a way as a culture to value the staff, and as we rebuild, if we can rebuild this system with adequate living wages that compensates not only for the heart that people bring to this work, but the knowledge, because many of these staff have most of them have at least a community college degree, and many have bachelor's degrees and are making $10.50 an hour. So that's the big takeaway, that we as a culture have to find a way that this industry, this profession, can be professionalized and supported in a way that is affordable for parents. That's the conundrum.
So we know our childcare workers are working really hard during the pandemic. And we have, I think, collectively started to recognize them a little bit more. But what would you say is something they're still doing right now that you would want the public to know about, that might still fly under the radar, so to speak?
Some of the centers who are closed are continuing to stay in contact with the families, just to check on them, see how they're doing, check on the children, and offer parenting tips. Some of them are on their own continuing to offer essentially in some ways a lifeline, but definitely a friendly check-in on we're here for you and we care about you. And we all need that.
Donna White is the interim president of Smart Start. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Tested is a production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. This is a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you are an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org to donate for the first time or to increase your support.
When Dr. Kizmekia Corbett was in elementary school, a teacher urged her mom and stepdad to do everything they could to make sure the school kept their daughter on the most demanding academic track possible. That teacher was African American, and what that teacher said resonated with parents raising a black girl in rural North Carolina. So when Kizzy, as the doctor calls herself, moved to Hillsboro, her family helped her stay on a rigorous course of learning as she made her way through Standback Middle School and then Orange High School. During summers in high school, Corbett took part in a program for budding scientists at UNC Chapel Hill. She was paired with a black graduate student named Albert Russell, a story she recounted to Black Enterprise magazine.
Beyond the love for science and the scientific process that I learned in that moment, what I learned mostly is that being him was possible.
After high school, Corbett went to the University of Maryland, Baltimore County on a full scholarship and then back to UNC Chapel Hill for her PhD. Today, Dr. Kizzy Corbett is the scientific lead working to create a vaccine for COVID-19 at the National Institutes of Health. Her team is the first to get a vaccine to clinical trial, the fastest progress ever toward a possible vaccine for a novel pathogen. She explained last night on CNN.
A lot of our work that we've done previously has essentially driven us into what we call a rapid response. And so, I mean, you probably are aware that we were able to go from getting the sequence online from the Chinese government at the same time as the rest of the world, and essentially pushing for a vaccine to get into a human trial in 66 days.
From a human trial to a publicly available vaccine is still a long process, and hundreds of different efforts are underway across the globe to make it happen. But Corbett offered some hope and confidence at the end of her interview with Black Enterprise.
Keep your empathy, pray about it, and we're going to be all right.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Will Michaels is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.